All right. Check, check, check. Will you do that too?
Check, check. David Jacoby, 1212.
Did you just burp?
No.
Really smelly.
Did I just burp?
I think you burped. Whatever. Let's get started.
The Press Box is here to catch you up on the latest media stories. Hosted by Brian Curtis and David Shoemaker, these guys have the insight on the biggest stories you care about. Check out the Press Box on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's get 30 minutes on the clock.
30 minutes.
Quick question.
Yeah?
You're going to leave in the part about my burp, aren't you?
No.
I think you should.
Okay.
I think you should.
Well, in case you guys were wondering, Jacoby just burped.
I just burped. Smells. And she said it smells really bad. And she's like 3 feet away from me.
Way less. You're quite close.
That's how we start Food News.
All right. We're on the clock. We need to go. Any opening salvos? Anything after we did 1 week? Anything like you feel like you need to note?
I don't need to note this. And I'm kind of upset that you asked, but if I'm being honest, I'm just so excited to be doing this again.
Oh, that's really nice. I am too. It's really fun. I hope you guys all liked it as well. We're having a great time. Okay, let's go. For some reason, when I'm with you, I feel like I need to like snap or clap. I don't know what it is. It's like a cheer vibe.
Well, okay, keep it going.
Okay.
Bring it on, as they like to say.
First story. Monkey gangs are hooked on sugary drinks. This story comes to us from The Sun in the UK. This is a story about monkeys that are attacking tourists in Thailand, specifically in Lop Buri, which I believe is how you say it. I'm sorry if it is not. And they're just going after the beverages in people's hands. It's pretty wild.
Okay, a couple things. Number one, I have dealt with the Thai monkeys before. Whoa. Firsthand. My wife and I went to our honeymoon in Thailand. It wasn't supposed to be the rainy season, but guess what? Rainy season came early that year.
Didn't
really harsh our vibe too much.
September?
Oof, I don't know.
Yeah.
Recall is not my strength. But
Jacoby, you know your anniversary. I know it too. It's September 11th.
So then we went after that. So it was probably like October.
Yeah, okay.
October, because we went on a mini honeymoon first
and then
a real one.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Okay. It's not that weird to know to remember when your honeymoon was, dude. It's usually tied to your wedding.
That's fair. That's very fair. I remember my wedding,
okay.
September 11th.
I wasn't even there, and I know the date. Carry on.
Got a discount in the venue in New York City. Don't judge me. But monkeys.
They're
much more like children than animals.
Mm.
They don't, like a squirrel is never going to run up and be like, run those chips. You know what I mean? Or like that doesn't happen with pigeons, like in or rats, like the or animals that you like interact with in a normal society here stateside.
Yeah,
monkeys you have to interact with.
I mean, this article says that people who live there fill plastic tubes of syrup and sugar, so it's like basically juice, like cheap juice, and then the monkeys drink it. And so it's like they court this behavior almost. It's
whose fault is this then?
Part of the local culture. Well, I don't want to blame anyone.
Oh, no, I'm blaming the people that like are like, hey, I'm making my monkey juice in the morning for the monkeys on my way to work. Like, no.
But yeah, have you ever heard of the term of bug juice? It's like just really sweet water, basically. It's like cheap juice. It's very similar. It's like monkey juice, bug juice,
yes.
All the same. I think that like what this really gets to for me is that as humans, we assume we run the planet. And when animals are not afraid of us, it's really upsetting. That's like a big part of the problem with rats, in my opinion, is that like rats are just not scared of humans. I wish they were. I fucking hate rats.
I'll see your rat and I will raise you geese.
Oh, God.
Have you ever been around an aggressive goose before?
No, I haven't.
Honestly, like I would much rather see like Steven Adams in a dark alley than an aggressive goose. It happened one time in Costa Rica. I don't think I've ever told the story to like my best friend.
Whoa! I turned exclusive air horn.
I'm in Costa Rica, walking alone down a like dirt road alley, stucco wall to my left and my right, and a goose is honking towards me. And this goose has murder in its eyes.
Oh my God!
And you would think, as a like 6'3", 200 pound human, I would not be afraid. I turned tailed and ran.
Well, turkeys are kind of similar. And turkeys, there's an article, turkeys are like taking over Staten Island. Turkeys are the same way. They'll just like go in front of your car. They don't give a shit.
They really don't care. They don't respect you. And I think the monkeys in Thailand, especially monkeys sugared up by the syrup and water, is there's a line of demarcation of, are you scared of me and am I scared of you? I'm scared of monkeys.
Me too.
I'm scared of geese.
I'm scared of turkeys. Don't anger them. They'll attack you.
Yeah.
It's not great. In general, I would just say I get it too. Like I too am addicted to sugar. So, you know, we all need to get our drugs.
And there are tons of signs like at hotels where like, the gringos like us go to, they're like, don't feed the monkeys, man. Do not do it. And I feel like most people probably do it anyway because they're cute.
Yeah, they're cute. And you think that like, they're just going to like run away after that, but no, then
they're just tiny Instagram models. They're cute and they will suck your soul.
These photos are really shocking. Check it out in the sun. All right. Next story. This comes to us from the New York Times. Is Gruyere still Gruyere if it doesn't come from Gruyere's? So this is sort of like the champagne situation.
It's
like foods that are named for a place. And if it doesn't actually come from that place, is it the same? So like champagne, sparkling wine, that's not from the Champagne region of France, is technically not champagne. This is like a very similar story. This is about Gruyere, which is from Switzerland. And apparently it's been made there since the 12th century. But here in the US, Gruyere can be made anywhere. So is American Gruyere really Gruyere? Jacoby, what do you say?
First point, the last 3 years, I've developed huge affinity for Gruyere cheese.
Are you like doing fondue at home? Like what's your vibe?
No, fondue. No, never. We'll save fondue for another food news, but I've learned that I really like Gruyere cheese.
It is really good.
However,
good on a sandwich, melted.
It wasn't until this article that I learned that it was a regional only thing. Mm. And I'm like, all right, guys, guess what? I don't care.
It's true. Like sparkling wine, I'm similar. I'm like
Prosecco.
Sure.
It's the same as champagne.
Sparkling
some would
rosé.
Say better. Yeah. It's just like, you guys can have these little fights behind your little closed doors, but as a consumer, whether the Gruyere came from Switzerland or Wisconsin, I do not care. It is delicious when you cut it up and put it on a cracker.
I think it's important to note that like the courts have weighed in on this, and that's why it's a story. It's kind of similar to last week with the FDA and French dressing.
No, the Association of Dressings and Sauces.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, my bad. The term Gruyere may once have been understood to indicate an area of cheese production, but the factual record makes it abundantly clear that the term Gruyere has now over time become generic to cheese purchasers in the United States.
Yes.
That's like a major like Europe. We don't care for you. Get out of here. Who cares?
Do we have to have another revolution?
Also, Gruyere cheese, really expensive. Probably because if you get it from Switzerland or France, you're like,
great point.
It's like an import. So if I get a cheaper version that tastes the same to me, I'm good with it.
And guess what, Switzerland? We don't care if you make American cheese.
Yeah, go
we're
for
not
it.
Taking you to court if you make a Kraft single.
Nobody
we don't care.
Nobody else wants to claim Kraft singles.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's probably not gonna happen.
We're gonna go wild with your Gruyere cheese. Guess what? If you did a blind taste test, which we will never do because it'd be boring, I would not be able to tell
you. You would
the
have no way of knowing at all. Okay, next. This is about celebrities, kind of, and food. Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson, they've been dating. I think like everyone and their mother is aware. If you consume any bit of pop culture news, you're aware that Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian are dating. First, they were seen in Miami
Carbone.
Sorry, that was actually Kanye and Julia Fox. I don't even know if Pete and Kim went to...
Oh, no, they went to a movie theater in Staten Island.
They went to a movie theater in Staten Island.
And they rented out the movie theater, but even if they rented out the movie theater, entered through a back exit, they still were photoed.
I wonder how that happens. Anyway, Kim and Pete, they took their love to L.A., and they went out for dinner at the very popular John and Vinny's on Fairfax in Los Angeles, and they followed that up by getting ice cream at Rite Aid, which I didn't know this until I lived in L.A., in fact, is famous for having ice cream.
Oh, they have a full, like...
ice cream situation. Thing. It's not like they're like, going to like, a cold case. Like, it's a scoop shop within ice.
Yes,
within
it is not like, and you can go to the freezer and get a pint of ice cream. They have a full, like, Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors ice cream situation in Rite Aid. Yeah. And I can't imagine the place where I'm like, hey, can I get, I don't know, a flu shot and Robitussin and also—
Two scoops of strawberry.
And two scoops of strawberry. Put some sprinkles on top of that. Like, I have questions about this, though. First of all, Los Angeles pizza scene, we can talk about that for a million years. There's basically like four places that people go to. John and Benny's is one of them. They're all pretty good.
Here's the thing. L.A. has great food.
People complain about pizza in L.A. It's great.
Garage Pizza, which I used to live across the street from.
Which is not even like one of these fancy four places.
No, it's a slice shop.
Slice shop.
It's fucking delicious.
If you transported Garage Pizza to New York City,
people would not bat an eyelash. No, Garage Pizza is very good.
They would not bat an eyelash.
There's Prime Pizza on Fairfax. That's very good. There's plenty of good pizza in L.A. L.A. has great food
in
general.
Whatever it's called.
Moza, yeah. That's fancy, but like slice.
It's good.
Yeah, even the slice shops are good. John and Vinny's is also... like fancy.
No.
But John and Vinny's is like a real thing. Like they're I would say their pasta is what people really love, but their pizza is great too. There's now two John and Vinny's. One is in Brentwood. This one, they went to the one on Fairfax. It's just like, to me, the main thing about this is like, they're just going places to be photographed and calling, calling people.
It's
to
a very
them.
Popular section of Los Angeles that I've gone to many times being like, oh, they have cool like streetwear stores there. I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
And then I go there and I'm like, I'm 2 decades too old for this scene. I'm not going to wait outside. What is happening? People are skateboarding. Everyone's a teenager. Do you guys have to be in school? Like that certain area of Los Angeles makes me feel very old.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just say they're based on the photos. It doesn't look like they ordered enough food, which like I guess shouldn't be surprising.
That we need to drill down on.
But like I look at
this is Daily Mail. Daily Mail. Oh, wait, that's enough food. Two personals.
Take two pizzas.
Wait a second.
They have two pizzas.
No, two cheese pizzas.
They're like the same pizza.
What kind of psychos would do that?
I think Pete Davidson. Like, I could see Pete Davidson. I don't know about him.
No.
But I could see Pete Davidson be like, I just only eat this one kind of pizza.
This couple's not going to last.
Okay, so they have salad, I think, and two pizzas, and that's it.
No,
and
like, two salads. It's almost like they don't like sharing food.
I don't know, man.
Also, I used to work at a pizza place. I'm sure we'll cover this later. Yeah. I love the people that are like, yeah, like a pizza with pepperoni and sausage and meatball and a Diet Coke. It's like, bro, if you're cutting the calories, you had a lot of other options. There are a lot of other forks in the road you could have taken.
I was going to say, Diet Coke, some people just get an affinity for the taste.
I like Diet Coke as well.
Me too. I like the taste
of
it.
You know the point I'm trying to make here.
Yes, of course.
But I think if you are on a date and you have two personal pizzas and you get the same type, that can't work.
It's like, just share.
You're not collaborating.
Sure.
You're not discussing. You're not communicating. You're not optimizing. You're not efficient. This is not going to work.
They also should have gotten a pasta. Like, John Vinny's has really good pasta. This it can't be a carb decision because like they're having pizza. And I mean, maybe it's like a low carb crust, but like this is still like not a healthy meal. Just get the fucking pasta.
Get one pasta, one pizza.
I don't understand. And then they're not drinking. They're only having Diet Coke, which I assume is because Pete Davidson has had abuse issues
sure.
in the past. So like that's, I support them and commend them on that. But like, this is just really weird. Also, this photo is like close up. So and John and Vinny's,
good point.
John and Vinny's is very small.
A little pixelated, so it could be a wider photo that was blown up.
Maybe, but John and Vinny's is really small. Like, it's not, the acoustics are bad in there, too, because all wood. It's, like, very
really
hard to
uncomfortable,
hear.
Uncomfortable.
It just seems like a bad date. It just, also, like, I don't know. I know it's shocking that a Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson relationship might not last, but, like, this is just ridiculous.
Hold on.
Okay.
There's two slices taken from one pie.
Mm-hmm.
Zero slices taken from the other pie. So they're going to go through one pie and then move on to the other pie?
Maybe they're going to bring it home.
None of this makes any sense.
It's really confusing. Also, the pictures of them in Rite Aid, like someone's just like fucking following them around. Also, I'm sure I've been to this Rite Aid. It's like on Beverly. I know it well. Like I just, this is so bizarre. These are like close up in like these very small
terrible
spaces.
Terrible date, by the way. Terrible date.
Okay. I actually disagree. John and Vinny's followed by Rite Aid, like sounds good to me.
No. I could do it better than that, though.
Sure.
Like, I would make a better order at John and Vinny's and then be like, at Rite Aid, we're going to go ham and go down every aisle and go shopping. And
I like to browse.
Spend 50 minutes in this Rite Aid. That's what we're going
to
do.
Like, I'd like to check out the different kinds of face wash and what kind of lotions do they have here? And do they have a good deal on shampoo? I would love to do every aisle at CVS or Rite Aid.
Yes. On a first or second date, you would learn so much.
And it would be really fun
so
and
much
funny.
About somebody.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
It's like going to the grocery store, which I also really enjoy.
As someone who doesn't date, I recommend going to a gigantic, Dwayne Reed CVS Rite Aid and walking through every single aisle and getting a cart and spending $300. And this is just you would learn more about that person than any other date in the world.
Seriously.
That's a great point by you. However, they're also competitive dating right now.
Yeah.
And this is not going to get them ahead.
Yeah, it's true. Like Kanye and Julia Fox are we're an interview magazine together. What are you two doing?
Yes, you guys are at Rite Aid getting ice cream.
Yeah, good luck.
And also, Kim Kardashian doesn't eat pizza and ice cream in real life.
No way. There's no way she eats either. But that's fine. To each their own.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, next. This is kind of along similar lines. This is from Eater, and there's a new trend happening where bookstores are introducing wine in bars so that you can drink while browsing books.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really into this trend. I think that sounds fantastic. I was just in Mexico City where there was a few bookstore/cafes, but not in the way that Barnes & Noble has a cafe in it, but more seamlessly integrated, cool vibe, feels very European. I was very into it. And I was like, this is a great place to spend time.
I support this. I combine books and alcohol 6 days out of the week.
Yeah. Jacoby's go-to move is going to a bar by himself, sitting at the bar.
Sitting in the back. No, not at the bar. I don't sit at the bar. No,
really? Because you don't want to talk to anyone.
Don't want to talk to anybody. Gotcha. That's why I've got the book.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't even want to talk to the servers.
So just beer and...
No, cocktail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I just slight personal aside? Over the weekend, I was like, I'm just going to go out for brunch by myself. And I went to a Mexican place and I sat at the bar. I read. So it was very similar.
Yeah, Jacoby move.
But it smelled so strongly of tequila. I was like, am I drinking right now? And I was just having coffee. It was noon. I was like, it just smelled so strong. It was insane. Anyway.
I like that story.
Thank you.
Personal booze news.
Oh, this is booze news.
We've got to brand this. Booze news. This is booze news. I love this idea. And also from a producer executive standpoint, you'll spend more time in the bookstore if you're drinking.
Of course.
It's that simple. So it's people go to bookstores. If I go to a bookstore, I'm looking for a particular book. I don't browse. I'm like, do you have this? They'll say yes or no. I'll get it and then I'll leave. I'm in and out in 7 minutes. If you're hey, glass of Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, while you browse.
Yeah, I would love that.
Totally. Adult only bookstore would be great. I do like to browse. I love seeing the staff recommendations. So this is just playing into all the things I like. Spending time, having some drinks. I think this is another perfect first date. You're like, let's meet at the bookstore and get a drink. And then also bookstores sell puzzles now. And I love puzzles. And I'm just they've got, if you combine alcohol, books, puzzles. And just hanging out, it's a trick. It's my version of Disneyland.
But I think you can't talk.
You can talk.
You can talk in bookstores?
It's not a fucking library. It's a bookstore.
I don't go to bookstores with people. I go to bookstores by myself.
I just go to them all the time. Literally on Sunday after I had brunch, I went to 3 bookstores. I was just walking around.
You're amazing.
One was only cookbooks.
You're amazing.
Or I'm a huge loser. Who's to say?
Big shout to Pillow Cat Books in the East Village, which only has animal-based books.
Interesting. Okay, I don't know that one. This Eater article points out Paradise Books and Bread in North Miami, which is a great name.
I live, work right by Jackson McNally.
Jackson, wonderful.
McNally Jackson, yeah.
Which
and
one?
They've got, first of all, people are going to chase me down.
Oh, sorry.
Extremely famous, Juliet. No, the one on Fulton Street in the Seaport.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. Yeah, everyone knows ESPN's there.
Yeah,
it's
fine, dude. I'm not kidding. I'm just kidding. No one cares about me. I literally tweeted my phone number once. No one called. Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean to. I thought it was a DM. No one called. I was like, that sucks.
That's a disaster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's move on. I'm going to cry.
next. We promised we were going to keep this podcast not too New York centric, and we'll do our best. We just happen to live in New York. Hey, we both love it here. Anyway, the story is about New York. I apologize. That's the end of the preamble. This is from Food and Wine. Diners are using Reddit to sell their non-refundable restaurants and Michelin star restaurants. This comes via Reddit, and someone posted, according to Food and Wine, that they paid $1,366.08 for the signature menu in the main dining room at a 2 Michelin star restaurant. It's modern Korean. It's called Jungsik, and they couldn't make it to dinner, so they were posting it there. So people are like, just like trading in their reservation on Reddit.
It's like this is like the secondary ticket market meets NFTs.
Yeah.
Meets like people that have way too much money to spend on restaurant experiences.
Yeah. It's like someone wanted to go to 11 Madison Park, which was featured on Netflix and now is vegan. Someone wanted to go to Tsukimi. Someone wanted to go to Atomics. I don't know either of those. I've only been to 11 Madison Park of that list, but I think this is really intrepid. I like it. I also think it's good for the restaurants. Like, the, you know, a big problem across the country and really world is that restaurants are having a hard time because of the pandemic. So this is great.
Yes. You know, this is more booze news. Like, dry January has been attacked by the restaurant industry.
Yeah, we agree. Fuck January.
Wet January.
Wet January all the way.
Double down. Yeah. Guess what? 2022 is going to suck too.
Yeah.
So let's start it off with a bang.
It's off to a pretty shitty start. So like, just drink, people.
And I like this. And I think that if I was in the restaurant industry and I worked at one of these high-end restaurants, I would be a little bit concerned that they could get out of control. But as long as you're not like underselling.
Yeah.
But like, guess what? If someone's going to spend $1,000 on a reservation, you want them in your building anyway.
Is there any meal you can have that you're like, that's worth $1,000 to me?
No.
Because me neither. Like, experience, yes. Like, if I'm paying for like some amazing, like I said, experience, like the ambiance is a big piece of it too. But there's no single meal that I'm like, I need that and I will spend $1,000.
A thousand?
I think some people feel
the number
way about,
for me
like,
is much lower.
What's your, I mean, like,
well, first of all, you know, I'm not rich, but like when it comes to like wine or steak or champagne or booze.
Yeah.
I kind of get up to like $100 and I'm like, is it really going to be that much different?
Right. Like,
is the Wagyu the $400 like Wagyu tomahawk going to be that much different than the $60 porterhouse?
I'm not sophisticated enough to tell the difference. And like part of going to restaurants is, again, the ambiance for me. Like one of my camp friends put it really well. Like, it's not worth going if you can't overhear someone else's conversation. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, you want to be close enough to other people for the opportunity of eavesdropping.
So of the senses, I prefer sight over sound in that regard. Mm. Like, I want to look at pretty people and just like, and then just like see the clothes that they're wearing and the lighting and the things they put on the walls. Like, ambiance to me is more visual than audio.
Oral? Yeah.
Oral, there you go.
AU.
Yeah, it doesn't work on podcasts.
That's oral medium. Yes. All right, let's do one more story before we get into our taste test. There's so many good options here. Shout out to producer Mike Wargon for putting them together.
Great job by Mike.
One more story from Food and Wine, just because it's timely.
Who's news?
Lay's grews potatoes with dirt from 29 NFL stadiums and turned them into chips. To celebrate Lay's return to the Super Bowl advertising after a 17-year hiatus, FYI, no one noticed, the brand has launched a Lay's Golden Grounds NFL team brand of potato chips made with spuds grown in fields that have been mixed with a bit of dirt from 29 of the league's teams. This is ludicrous and just like ridiculous. And also, do they all have like, do like the domes and like AstroTurf even have dirt? Like, do all the fields have dirt? No, they don't.
Juliet?
Yes?
I'm 100% on board with this.
Why?
I'm 100% on board with this. I once was gifted a small vial of dirt from Fenway Park where they like won the World Series.
Yeah.
I don't even
know
if it was real.
Which one?
04? There's only one, really. Let's be honest.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm on board. This is one of those things where like you're in the like pitch meeting and there's like a 24-year-old that didn't talk for like 75 minutes. Like, hey, I know we're wrapping up, but like, just imagine we took some dirt from Soldier Field and made potato chips and put them out in the Chicago market and charged a premium. And like everyone just like is shuffling their papers and getting ready for their next meeting. And someone was just like, you know what? That is absolutely genius.
You know, I think that I'm like, this is stupid because I don't really think about where from whence my potato chips came. Like, I don't think about the potatoes that they are born from.
It's Idaho, like, right? Like, just
or Ireland. I don't even know. No idea. But like, are like mass produced potato chips actually from potatoes? Like, I need the FDA to let me know. Like, is that part of the official definition? Like, there's so many different kinds of chips.
My kids are big into Pringles, and I'll just like sometimes I like
Pringles.
Sometimes I look at a Pringle too long, and I'm just like, don't do this to yourself. Don't do this to yourself.
It's like
I'm like, how did they? Huh? How does this? I'm just like, forget
how
it.
How does it happen?
So don't even bother. Don't even bother. But I will say that like one thing you can never underestimate is the insane. Fanatical fandom that people have for these teams.
I know. The NFL's so wacky. I don't get it because I don't have a team. I don't
really have a team either. But like, but what I do have the objective view of the world to understand that there's a small percentage of the people that like these teams that like literally decorate entire rooms and have entire wardrobes and live entire lives based on the success or failure of these teams.
Also, like,
and they will buy some potato chips.
It's probably a pretty low investment for the gimmick. And probably the reward for whatever two teams make it is probably so high because in that those two cities, people will go out and buy chips for their parties and be so excited. They'll want to remember the Super Bowl. So whatever.
I'm not good at math, but somewhere there's someone in corporate America that works in the food space. Because remember when like Coke was putting your name on Coke bottles and cans?
Mm-hmm.
Like that doesn't make sense. Like what are the Carolines? But the Carolines that see this are going to freak out. I think this is the same sort of thing. It's like you're going to hit some customer so hard that it's going to work out for you financially.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe you're right then. All right. Time to do a taste test.
Before I say that, big fan of like a plain Lay's potato chip.
Oh, me too.
Like it is like, I'll take that over Cape Cod. I'll take that over Lay's.
No.
I'll take that over Ruffles.
I'm offended.
I'll take that over Utz, Hal's.
As a part-time Cape Codder, I feel personally attacked. So.
That's why I said that first.
I know.
That's why I said first.
Really rude. Okay, time for our taste test. We are taste testing some sparkling waters. They're called Camino. I got them at a Japanese market in my neighborhood as I walked to do this podcast. I got three flavors. Mm-hmm. I got them because the packaging looked really nice. Honestly, and I love sparkling water. It's one of our shared passions.
We talk about sparkling water like at least 5% of our conversations. Yeah. My wife is very much involved in the marketplace.
Yeah,
Spindrift, gang.
Whenever there's an opportunity to try new ones, I always want to. So we're going to try three flavors. I think that they are orange, apple, which is really interesting because I don't see that very frequently. It's called Ringo. I think that stands for apple. I'm going to look it up.
Stands for?
Means.
Means, sure.
And umi, which I believe is lychee.
Looks like a lychee to me.
Yeah, well, look it up. So we're going to give them a taste. These were pretty cheap. They come really nice packaging. And
So you taste, I'll talk.
Okay.
When you said pretty cheap, I found that interesting because there's only like 8 ounces in it. It looks expensive to me. Like if you were to tell me that this costs more than a Le Croix or a Spindrift, I would not be surprised. And one thing I do like about them is they're not zero calorie.
No. Interesting.
One is 2 calories, one is 18 calories, one is 32 calories, which I appreciate. I don't really trust truly zero calorie beverages.
Me neither.
I like low calorie beverages.
It's probably like zero at like a very small volume or something, but like obviously it can't actually be zero.
Quick aside, I hate it when it's like one serving size, 0 calories, 2 serving size, 5 calories. Yeah. Like show me the math.
I know.
How does this work?
It adds up.
Show me the math here. All right, you go.
Very fragrant. This lychee one is good. It's a little tart. I wasn't expecting that. It's good. And also the bubbles aren't too strong. This is sort of like a juice. It's like a bubbly juice.
Yeah, that's solid. I think one thing that's important is the amount. It's not just the taste. It's how bubbly is the beverage.
Yes.
And that is not a very bubbly beverage.
I like that. Like I sometimes, it varies, but like when you open like a can of like Schweppes or like
a Perrier.
Well, those are usually like, there's a lot of variation.
Yeah.
The cheapest seltzers usually have the harshest bubbles. And as you go up the price scale, the bubbles are softer and more delicate. This is more delicate. I'm trying apple now.
Oh, you're trying apple. Which this is the 32 calorie, and it's also
this disgusts me. Oh my god,
8.45. Oh man, I wish you didn't say that. But you have to fill while I drink.
Oh my goodness, it tastes like fermented apple. I don't like it at all. Ugh, not for me. And I love apple juice. It's just not sweet. It's like a tart apple. These are tart. That's my takeaway.
This might have been a mistake.
It's really gross. There's a reason why there's not apple seltzers.
Quick question for you though. I don't read Japanese, but it says Camingo Ringo. Camino Ringo sparkling water. And then at the bottom it says 23%.
Well, they're honest.
What does that mean?
I don't know. This is 23%
like 23% juice? I think it might be juice percentage. Juice. Okay, juice percentage. Well, they should have dialed back the apple juice in this one.
The lychee one is only 1%. So it's very low.
But I preferred that one. So now we're
moving
on.
Sorry, this was plum. It wasn't even lychee. I was wrong.
The picture doesn't look like a plum.
It's a plum.
It's not what a plum looks
this
like.
This comes from San Francisco, by the way. Distributed really? By Camino Drink, San Francisco, California, 94110. Huh. So there you go. All right, last one, orange.
I have high hopes.
I like
for
that.
Orange. I have high hopes.
It'd be
for
a good
orange.
Mixer. It'd be a really good mixer.
Oh, I like where your head's at. Let me taste it and make my suggestion of what to mix with.
Like, you know, there's a few different directions you could go, but like, I think this is a really good foundational beverage. You can build on it, mix some other things in. It's really like satisfying and clear.
Yeah. That one's refreshing. I could drink that by itself.
Me too. That's a really good
and
one.
And also, one of the things I like to do is put sparkling beverages over ice. Do you know why?
Why?
Takes out some of the sparkling punch.
Mm.
Because the ice, the coldness reacts with the sparkle and it makes all those bubbles and it kind of like gets too crazy. Wait 10 seconds. Guess what? You've just taken a little of the bubbles out of your sparkling water.
Smart. You're a genius, Jacoby.
It's an experience. It comes with age.
Well, thank you to Camino. Interesting. I'm going to keep an eye out for this. I'll dabble.
Here's my thing. 8.45 ounces doesn't do it for me.
I like a small beverage sometimes.
Really? No.
I don't know. I just drink so many of them. I have to cycle through.
I'm a gigantic person. I will finish this 8.45 ounces while you set up the next segment.
I'm a slow beverage drinker, and which is funny because I constantly have them and I work on like several at one time. Like my desk is a sea of drinking receptacles. All right. Next, personal food news. Jacoby, you go first. Keep it short. We've only got 2 minutes left.
See, I just finished that. You can check me on this feed. After this, I'm recording with Joe House and Craig.
Oh.
I'm cooking Skyline Chili.
Cooking?
Yeah, yeah. Well, reheating. Okay. It's been sent to me. Skyline Chili, buffalo wings, hot Nashville chicken.
Oh, my God. So this is
part
of the—
Kansas City ribs.
The NFL eating challenge that,
yes.
That House
and
is leading.
And that is
leading.
Happening later today. You can check that out. That is my personal food news for the week.
That's like such a cheat. That's just like part of Ringer food. Personal food news is like— Hey, on my big Sunday out when I went to have brunch by myself and also went to 3 bookstores, I stopped at my favorite bodega.
Mine is a question then.
I'm not done.
No.
Fine.
My son and my wife, I've got this special hot sauce I've been eating since I was a kid, shared with my dad, called Inner Beauty Hot Sauce.
Okay.
It's a Scotch bonnet pepper, Caribbean-style hot sauce, made in Massachusetts, I believe. It's an excellent hot sauce. My favorite hot sauce, extremely hot.
I couldn't have it.
So— They found that the bottle was expired.
30 seconds.
And threw it away.
Oh, my God. Does hot sauce expire?
Thank you. I feel like hot sauce could last for 10, 15 years.
It's like mustard. Like, deli mustard's so fake.
And I wasn't consulted. We're running out of time. You gotta go with
yours. You interrupted me very quickly. My big day out. I went to my favorite bodega that is stocked with a wonderful—
I thought that was hypothetical. I'm sorry.
No!
Oh, I thought it was hypothetical. We can go overtime then.
Oh, my God.
I thought you were giving an example of a food news story. I would have never done that then. I apologize.
That was so—
I apologize.
I was wondering
was
why
rude.
You're being so rude.
Yeah, I thought you were like, no, food news, personal food news is supposed to be something like— I thought you were giving a hypothetical.
No.
And I was like, okay. Sorry.
On my big day out where I felt like I was drinking tequila, though I wasn't, and I was just having coffee and a lot of water and a delicious breakfast burrito at this Mexican place, followed by 3 bookstores. Before that, I stopped at my favorite bodega before getting on the subway, and my bodega has just an amazing beverage selection, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. Mm. And like, sometimes I just get sick of drinking water, don't we all? And so I discovered this like small batch iced tea, which the only iced tea they make is peach iced tea, which is my favorite kind. I love all peach beverages.
Best time.
It's
best
so,
kind.
So, so good. It's called Brooklyn Best. They make 3 things, peach iced tea, lemonade, and a peach iced tea Arnold Palmer with those things together.
Oh, I like that last one.
And they were so good. I was like, holy shit, I love this. I immediately followed them on Instagram, and on the subway, I ordered 54 cans. I ordered 18 cans. It was—
oh my God.
So, and then it came the next day. It was incredible. It was
the next day?
It was local. It was local too.
I love that you're like 54 is crazy. So is 18, you know.
Well, I just like to have a lot of beverages. So anyway, it was so good. Brooklyn Best. And it's just discovering a great new beverage, then you can order in bulk and have come very quickly is such an incredible delight. So shout out to them. I was really excited about it.
Can I apologize again for interrupting your food news?
No, because we have one last thing to talk about very quickly.
We
and
are
then
already
we're
in overtime.
Go. I know, but I just want to say the 22nd of this month, January 22nd, in a few days, is National Hot Sauce Day. And I was glad you told a hot sauce story, even though you interrupted me as a result. And very briefly, where do you stand on these garbage national food days, like holidays?
I understand that people get excited about them, but if imagine living a lifestyle where you like followed all of these to a T, it would be like prison. You know, it's like yeah, it would just be like, oh, now it's donut day, and now it's pizza day, and now it's hot dog day, and now it's mustard day. It's too much.
Way too much. Well, we did it. That's food news for you this week. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm David Jacoby Sourpuff for interrupting you.
Thank you to Mike Wargon for producing this episode.
He's the best.
And we'll be back next week.